Peter Rugg, The Missing Man, by William Austin. From Jonathan Dunwell of New York to Mr. Herman Croft. Sir, agreeably to my promise, I now relate to you all the particulars of the lost man and child which I have been able to collect. It is entirely owing to the humane interest you seem to take in the report that I have pursued the inquiry to the following result. You may remember that business called me to Boston in the summer of 1820. I sailed in the packet to Providence, and when I arrived there, I learned that every seat in the stage was engaged. I was thus obliged either to wait a few hours or accept a seat with the driver, who civilly offered me that accommodation. Accordingly, I took my seat by his side and soon found him intelligent and communicative. When we had traveled about 10 miles, the horses suddenly threw their ears on their necks, as flat as a hare's. Said the driver, "Have you a surtout with you?" "No," said I. "Why do you ask?"
"You will want one soon," said he. "Do you observe the ears of all the horses?"
"Yes, and was just about to ask the reason."
"They see the storm breeder, and we shall see him soon."
At this moment, there was not a cloud visible in the firmament. Soon after, a small speck appeared in the road.
"There," said my companion, "comes the storm breeder. He always leaves a Scotch mist behind him. By many a wet jacket do I remember him. I suppose the poor fellow suffers much himself, much more than is known to the world."
Presently, a man with a child beside him, with a large black horse and a weather-beaten chair, once built for a chaise body, passed in great haste, apparently at the rate of 12 miles an hour. He seemed to grasp the reins of his horse with firmness and appeared to anticipate his speed. He seemed dejected and looked anxiously at the passengers, particularly at the stage driver and myself. In a moment after he passed us, the horse's ears were up and bent themselves forward so they nearly met. "Who is that man?" said I. "He seems in great trouble."
"Nobody knows who he is, but his person and the child are familiar to me. I have met him more than 100 times, and have been so often asked the way to Boston by that man, even when he was traveling directly from that town, that of late I have refused any communication with him. And that is the reason he gave me such a fixed look."
"But does he never stop anywhere?"
"I have never known him to stop anywhere longer than to inquire the way to Boston. And let him be where he may, he will tell you he cannot stay a moment, for he must reach Boston that night."
We were now ascending a high hill in Walpole, and as we had a fair view of the heavens, I was rather disposed to jeer the driver for thinking of his surtout, as not a cloud as big as a marble could be discerned.
"Do you look," said he, "in the direction whence the man came? That is the place to look. The storm never meets him. It follows him."
We presently approached another hill, and when at the height, the driver pointed out in an eastern direction a little black speck about as big as a hat.
"There," said he, "is the seed storm. We may possibly reach Polly's before it reaches us, but the wanderer and his child will go to Providence through rain, thunder, and lightning."
And now the horses, as though taught by instinct, hastened with increased speed. The little black cloud came on rolling over the turnpike and doubled and trebled itself in all directions. The appearance of this cloud attracted the notice of all the passengers, for after it had spread itself to a great bulk, it suddenly became more limited in circumference, grew more compact, dark and consolidated. And now the successive flashes of chained lightning caused the whole cloud to appear like a sort of irregular network and displayed 1,000 fantastic images. The driver bespoke my attention to a remarkable configuration in the cloud. He said every flash of lightning near its center discovered to him, distinctly, the form of a man sitting in an open carriage drawn by a black horse.